May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in Thee, the fullness of Thy promise prove, the seal of Thy eternal love? 1074. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashen hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coast of Magdala. May the Lord bless his word, and help Dave in prayer.
Once more we have come into the house of prayer. Oh, do grant that true prayer may be put in our hearts, and that we may humble ourselves at thy footstool, and come confessing that we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, for nothing but sin we thee can give. Oh, Lord, to bow at thy feet and plead with thee for mercy, that thou wilt look upon our needy souls and bid the dying sinner live. Lord, thou knowest how many have come up this evening feeling the defilement within, to feel that their sins cut deep beyond expression and before us each, Lord, a never-ending eternity. And where shall we spend eternity? For if thou do not interpose thy precious blood, then we must forever die and be found in that place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, the fire of thy wrath against sin. O Lord, but we ask, that we might come as beggars, that we might lie low at thy feet, and though we have nothing to plead before thee, to ask that thou wilt have mercy, that thou wilt look upon us, that thou wilt lift us up, set our feet upon the rock, that we may be among those that as beggars are lifted up and set among princes, those whom thou dost give eternal life to, thy free gift. Those whom thou dost give life through thy dear Son. Those whom thou dost help to look with the eye of faith to that finished work of Calvary, and plead that all our hopes are there. Lord, wilt thou remember us then? We come as weak and poor and silly, knowing not how to pray or speak. And yet, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Quicken our souls, we pray. Do send thy Spirit, that he may teach us, that he may open our eyes. Lord, we long for thy healing touch. Lord, we long that thou wilt do something for us, that we may not be left where we are, but that thou wilt quicken us, turn us again to seek the living God, grant a true living cry of a living child. We bow before thee, Lord. How can one speak with a holy, holy, holy God, Lord, our only hope is that thou wilt accept us for the sake of thy dear Son, that when we approach a holy God, thou wilt look upon thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. May we be found in him, sheltering under the blood. We ask that the words spoken this evening may do our souls good. Lord, we long to have something for our sustenance, something to enable us to continue, that thou wilt speak and bid our souls rejoice. Say, it is the Lord. Oh, that we might know the power of thy Spirit within and not be left just to steal the word. Lord, it is that something done in the name of thy dear Son that we so long for. Do arise for our help. Come, Lord, draw our affections heavenward. Grant us those new and those living desires, that we might walk in thy ways, that we might be made subject to thy holy will, that we might delight in it. O Lord, we have to confess such deep rebellion against thee and against thy ways. Oh, but make us conformable to thy will. And we ask that thou wilt remember each soul here and each case. Lord, those great impossibilities, those things that are impossible with men, but oh, do show that they are possible with thee. And Lord, we ask that there may be a nevertheless afterwards, that looking back and seeing what great things thou hast done for our souls, that thou hast done for us in providence too, and to acknowledge that it was thee and thee alone. Lord, if thou do not work, we must forever die. So then arise for our help. And we pray, Lord, that that which is done in this may be for the consolation, for the direction, for the comfort of souls here. Those who have come up begging that they may hear from thee, do not let them go away disappointed. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt speak, draw souls after thee. Indeed, may it be the cry of each one of us, draw me. We will run after thee. We do pray that thou wilt remember those who are in deep affliction at this time. We pray for thy servant who was engaged to be here, now brought very low, and ask that thou wilt be with him tonight, that if it might please thee, thy Spirit might draw near, and his heart rise up, and that he might hear thy voice. I love thee well, my child. And Lord, oh, we do each long to hear that for ourselves. Lord, others among us are brought low, and not here with us tonight. We pray that thou wilt remember them where they are, and one in hospital also. For thou art not bound to means or place, and we pray that thou wilt remember them and do them good for time and for eternity. O Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember us as a nation, that thou wilt work, if it might please thee, that we may see a turning of the tide of evil. The hearts of all men are in thy hand, and none can say unto thee, what doest thou? And as we have seen before, so again we ask that in all the wicked things before our Parliament, Lord, that thou wilt rule and overrule for Zion's good. And we confess before thee how far we have departed from thee, and ask that thou wilt restore again, that thou wilt turn the tide of evil, that there may be an acknowledgement of thy holy word, and that thou art a holy, holy, holy God, and Lord, that sin which runs down our streets is a disgrace, and Lord, it offends against thee. Oh, that there might be a turning once more of many souls to seek thee, to walk in thy ways. And so we pray for the work of thy Spirit to cause it to come to pass. And though it seems impossible, yet with thee nothing shall be called impossible. Do help us to plead it, Lord, that thou wilt do it, for thy great name's sake. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done, and we thank thee for thy precious word, and we thank thee for the freedom to meet and to worship, none daring lawfully to make us afraid. And yet, Lord, do help us to value these privileges and to plead with thee that they may not be taken from us. Oh, how we fear impending persecution. But Lord, all things are in thy hand. Do make us submissive to thy holy will, and if it should come to pass, wilt thou grant us grace to stand. Do remember each one, if not mentioned by case, those peculiar cases, Lord, known only unto thee, those secrets that have been laid up with thee, those secret desires. Lord, remember each one. Send answers of peace this night, if it might be thy holy will. And we would pray for our dear brother. Lord, help him, strengthen him, and do grant that that which he has brought to read to us may be profitable, that there may be those things we can take home and beat out before thee, that we can pray over and seek thee to make them plain in our own cases. Oh, may it be thy will that this night there shall be something done that shall glorify thy holy name. We thank thee for every mercy granted to each one of us, thy sparing mercies, thy kind provision for us. One thing is needful. Oh, we do long that thou wilt draw near. Bless our souls. Lead us to that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. And there may we bathe our weary soul. Oh, to know that Jesus Christ has washed away all our sins by his own blood. This is what we desire. Do it for thy name's sake, we ask. Amen.
Hymn 224. Grace is Jehovah's sovereign will in an eternal covenant sure. which for his seed he will fulfill, longer than sun and moon endure. 224.
Thank you.
try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Pocock, and you will find the text in the chapter we read, Matthew chapter 15 and verses 25 to 28. Matthew 15, verses 25 to 28. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Then came she. The Lord foreknew this woman, whose case he had ordered, and in whose case he had given permission for the devil to so grievously vex her daughter. But he had caused her to hear of him, and for the very purpose of her deliverance, he had journeyed into these parts where she lived. In the Lord's parable, where that man had fallen among thieves and been wounded, and left half dead, the Lord said, A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, to that poor man who had fallen among thieves. The priest and the Levite passed by on the other side, but the Samaritan, setting forth the Lord Jesus, came where he was. There was a meeting, and here there was a meeting, ordained of God, a bringing together. Unto him, we read, shall the gathering of the people be. She came pleading mercy. You know that devil-vexed condition of her daughter, how it sets forth the chief trouble of the Lord's people. O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Except we know the deliverance that this woman was granted by the Lord Jesus, we are under the dominion of the devil. But notice the word of Scripture. Her daughter was vexed. Oh, that soul whom the Lord has quickened, how it is vexed with the devil. By nature we are in league with him. We love his service well. What a mercy if the Lord grant us that religion he gave Lot, whose soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Lord pulled him out of that place. You children, that is the first place in the Word of God where the word mercy is written. Lot, he lingered, but in mercy to him, the Lord, by those angels, took hold of him and brought him out of that place. That is mercy. Lot could not perish because he was one of those whom you've sung just now. God's willingness to save them as they stand in Christ, their eternal head, in mercy overruling, intervening, graciously and powerfully bringing his people from all ill. Now this woman, in her approach unto the Lord, she knew the trial of faith. Firstly, the Lord answered her not a word. But a delay is not a denial. The Lord did not say no to that woman. He answered her not a word. To the encouragement of anyone here tonight who is sorely tempted to give up calling on God because in some particular matter, or in the whole matter of your soul's salvation, you receive no answer. Can you give up? If you began it yourself, you can. But the work that the Lord begins, he will not give up. That is the secret of the endurance of the Lord's people. And that was the secret of this woman's endurance. Though the Lord did not answer her word, he continued to put forth that power that kept her as a coming sinner at his feet. He allows his disciples to further add to the discouragement, for they came and said unto him, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Oh, how the Lord's people themselves make false judgments, how the Lord's people themselves hinder each other, prove a trouble to each other when left to themselves. But what a mercy it is that the salvation of the Lord's people does not depend on others being in agreement with us or supporting us. It is extremely desirable for the Lord's people to be united, but the security of the Church of God does not depend on that. The vital point is not whether we have friends around us encouraging us, it is whether we know the blessed Lord himself speaking comfort, encouragement to our soul, for he is never mistaken. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was at that point, then came she, for he spoke of being sent to lost sheep, and surely, as he spoke, it was conveyed to her soul the truth. Lord, thou art the one that I need, but I need thee sent to me. You might say, well, the Lord Jesus had been sent to this woman. Yes, but the woman needed him sent to her in a more blessed, fuller way. She needed the Lord Jesus sent to her to deliver her, to give her what she needed, to grant her the help that she had asked for. Then came she and worshipped him. Christ said to the woman at the well, The Father seeketh such to worship him. Those who worship him truly, worship him in spirit and in truth. This woman worshipped him in spirit. That is, it was not anything merely natural working in her, but that spiritual favour of living faith. It was not merely a mind matter. It was a heart matter, a soul matter, real worship. When a person is blessed with the grace of the Holy Spirit giving some glimpse of Christ, and really there is real worship, when a person is taught by the Spirit to feel their need, and in that need the Lord pulls them and drives them away from all those idols that in their nature they worship. By nature, we worship anything and everything but the true and living God. Notice again, I repeat what the Lord said to that woman at the well. The Father seeketh such. How does the Father seek such to worship him? He sends his quickening spirit to make that person feel their great need, and sends his quickening spirit to give a glimpse of his Son. Worship God then in his Son, there his love, and there alone. Why, when the Saviour spoke to this woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, she had a glimpse of him. She saw beyond what was seen with the natural eye. Then came she and worshipped him. You see, any object of worship is that which we look to for satisfaction, for comfort, for pleasure. Now Christ is the only true and worthy object of worship. But who is he? To whom is he such? He is the Saviour to the poor sinner whose need is such that no idol, no false god, none but the blessed Saviour of sinners, the merciful and gracious and compassionate friend of sinners, the Redeemer of the lost, the Pardoner of the guilty, none but he can satisfy their need. This is how the Father will bring his people to the worship of God. They will realize that out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. But when they are favoured with a little glimpse of God in Christ, that there is God manifest, his glory is then revealed in its mildest majesty. See where it shines in Jesus' face. The one who giveth his great favour, not in respect of any good in that person, not in respect of anything they have done or can do, but according to his free and sovereign grace and mercy, worship. This is always the effect when a needy sinner is favoured with a glimpse of Christ, as it was with that woman at the well in Samaria. She left her water pot and said, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Worship then is not only in praise. In prayer there is worship. This plea, "Lord," by faith she saw that he indeed is Lord, the Lord over all things in heaven and in earth. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He is the Lord of life. He hath given him by his Father that blessed gift, life for his people. He is the Lord of life in this, that his Father hath commanded him to give life to as many as ask him. He is therefore the Lord of life, and therefore the Lord over death. He who hath power over death, death being the fruit of sin. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. The Lord of life, yes, the Lord over Satan himself. For this woman's particular trouble was that the devil was grievously vexing her daughter. This woman had evidently proved, as every one of the Lord's people do prove, that they cannot tame Satan, nor can they tame that sin which is in them as a result of that first temptation of Satan that man fell into. They cannot overcome that awful power which Satan has, which we read of in the Word of God, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." Lord, thou dost have power over Satan. Thou dost have power over him because of thy glorious person and the appointment of God in the covenant of his grace. That first promise, the first gospel promise that was given, the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Now this woman, when she prayed this prayer, addressing him as Lord, she by faith perceived that this was the one who should bruise the serpent's head. Lord. Therefore, in her worship, in her approach to him, in her great need, he was her Lord in this respect, that she was before him asking for his help upon the terms of his lordship, that he, commanded by his Father for his name's sake, for his own glory, and in loving faithfulness toward his people, should deliver them. Lord, help me. Oh, what help she needed. That help that alone the Lord Jesus could give. You know help as the woman asked for here. It was salvation, was it not? When we think or speak of helping one another, we speak of that as assistance. But this woman's need, the help she needed, it was for the Lord to do everything for her. That is the Lord's help. You see, if a person cannot do anything, and this woman could not do anything toward the deliverance of this daughter, that which she asked for when she asked for help, she asked for the same as Hezekiah asked for at the time when he was so grievously afflicted and in soul trouble too. He prayed, "Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me." What Hezekiah asked for there, and what this woman asked for here, was for the Lord to do all for them, and to do all for them in that way, and that he alone can do all, that help, not for their sakes, for his name's sake. But then in what she asked is set forth the way in which the Lord teaches his people in their asking. I try to bring it forth like this. Sometimes the needs of the Lord's people are so complex, so perplexing, so beyond their understanding, that they really do not know what to ask for. So the Holy Spirit helps them in their infirmities in this, and they ask, "Lord, help me." And the desire of their soul in that prayer is really, "Lord, thou knowest what is best for me. Thou knowest the end of this from the beginning. Lord, help." Help. It is a simple, short prayer, is it not? You know, I believe there is more prayer in these prayers, these short, simple cries, when they are indicted by the Spirit, than in many words. The Lord brings his people to this urgency, this crying for help by the extremity of their need. They are made to realize the Lord does not require many words. "Lord, it is thy help that I need." Sometimes in the Lord's people's experience day by day, tis an urgent matter, and in this cry they may have to add a word on the end because of the very urgency of it. "Lord, help me now. I need help at this very moment in my life, Lord. I have got this great difficulty before me now. I do not know what to do now." I think of Nehemiah when he was before that king. His countenance was sad, and the king noticed it and said, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick?" This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Nehemiah was sore afraid, and he said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." He stood before that man, and before he answered, his soul went in desire and supplication to the Lord. Oh, may we know it. I believe some of us have known it, and we have proved it. And it has been often said that this prayer, though so often used by the Lord's people, it will never wear out. When I ventured out to preach, the Lord's servant, Mr. Short, said to me, "As you go around the different pulpits, some will have 6 steps, 5 steps, 4 steps, 3 steps. But you will find there are really 3 into every one. Lord, help me." Me. So personal, isn't it? "Ye shall be gathered one by one," saith the Lord to his people. I am sure where the grace of God is given, the exercise, the desire for mercy, the desire for good, it will not be confined to oneself. But above all, it will be your own case. You come into the house of God. You are in the congregation together with the rest of the congregation. You hear what is read, hear what is said in prayer, sing the hymns together, and listen to that sermon as the Lord may give it. But oh, it is your soul, is it not, child of God? You need to hear as though you are the only person in the place. You need your sins forgiven. You need your heart softened. You need your case attended to. You need your soul healed. You need your temptations overcome. You need the troubles in your life attended to. You need those perplexities, those difficulties, those things you do not know what to do about. You need the Lord to help you. It is so personal, because you know that when you come down to die, it will be you and your God. It will not do in that day to have heard and believed what the Lord did for David and for Jacob and for all the children of God. It will not do for you to have sat all your life under a sound ministry. No, you need this help. You need the Lord to help you. You need the Lord to soften your heart. You need him to convince you of your sin. You need him to give you repentance. You need him to bless you with faith in his Son. You need him to speak pardon into your heart. You need him to assure you, to say unto your soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, help me. I often have to quote the 107th Psalm. The Lord's people in that psalm, as this woman here, we read again and again of them coming into extremities. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Lord, help me. Then what will this sinner feel as he or she says, Lord, help me? Surely no sinner needed mercy more. Lord, no sinner deserved it less. No sinner was more unworthy. This is a faithful saying, said Paul, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I believe that is the language of every one taught of the Spirit. I am chief. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. This woman was a woman of Canaan. The Canaanites, the Gentiles, were referred to by the Jews as dogs. The dog was considered as unclean. Gentiles, not of the Jewish race, were considered unclean. That is the first thing that the Lord refers to here. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But then surely the deeper point here is that which every one of the Lord's people will be made to feel, that they are unworthy of the children's bread. There are two points that come to mind there. The Lord help me to express it. I try to speak of it like this. How the case of this woman, why it brings in those that have to say like Ruth, I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And yet Boaz, a beautiful type of Christ, allowed her to glean in his field, commanded that handfuls of purpose should be let down for her, and in the fullness of it, took her to be his wife. It is not meet to take the children's bread. Oh, the Lord's people, these that venture to Christ, will perceive the truth of the sovereign election of God. They will perceive the blessed benefits, the blessed portion of the elect. But you know, they do not come to the Lord Jesus, particularly when they are first venturing, knowing they are one of the elect. But they come, brought in by the Lord's own word in his description of the characters to whom he is merciful and gracious. Ho, every one that thirsted, come ye to the waters. The Lord does not say, come ye elect people. He says, come ye thirsty people. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. She fell before the Lord's word. By faith she perceived the truth. This is one sure mark of the Holy Spirit's teaching. There will never be any obtaining of the blessing, but by this bringing of us, by the power of the Lord, to fall before him, before his truth, Sinner, if there be rebellion against any word of truth in our heart, that must be brought down, and the Lord will bring it down. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And one way in which the mighty hand of God is felt is when he speaks with power. The proud he will bring down. Consider those two men that went up to the temple to pray. Christ said concerning those two, "For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." It is the effect of grace in a sinner's heart. This woman, why she felt to be a dog, she felt to be an unclean thing, she felt to be the lowest. And whether the Lord uses this word dog or uses that word worm, no description will be felt to be too low or base for them. There will be a falling before it. They never think they're laid too low if Jesus on them pity show. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Yes, even from among these Gentile dogs, there are those who have a heavenly master. There are those whom the Lord is the heavenly master of, and they eat of those crumbs that fall from their master's table. What are these crumbs? Why, it is the bread of life, Christ himself. The crumb we may speak of as being a little portion of that bread of life. You know the greatest portion that a person knows here below is, in comparison with the greatness of the person of the Son of God, but a crumb. But you see, in a crumb of a loaf of bread is still that bread. It still has that vitality in it. It still has that nourishment in it. And the virtue, the strengthening effect of that bread of life is such, even though it is but a crumb. The crumbs which fall from their master's table. Yes, they come from above, the crumbs that fall. Christ said, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Now it was these crumbs that this woman was after. She worshipped him in prayer, asking of him a crumb, asking of him his help. She needed that crumb given her. She was taught, as the leper was, that there must be that putting forth of the hand of the Lord in this matter for her deliverance. There must be the answer to this prayer, "Lord, help me." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." The greatness of that faith that she was enabled by him to venture thus, to look singly to Christ for everything. To come not saying, "Lord, because I have done this and because I have done that, Lord, help me." But to come in substance asking, "Lord, help me, because the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table." There is the greatness of faith. I think of that other character, the faith of whom the Lord commended, that centurion of whom the Lord said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The centurion was not to be commended. No, the glory was to be the Lord's. This centurion, another Gentile, a Roman, who the Lord was sovereignly working in, what was that faith which that centurion had? He said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." O woman, great is thy faith. Yes, the Lord's testimony concerning his own work in a person. Would this woman have called her faith great? No, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. For he is that perfect judge, who seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You say, well then, what is faith? Is it not that single eye, that trust in Almighty God, when a sinner comes with their great need, whatever it be, spiritual, providential, and is enabled to look singly to the Lord for their deliverance, as the Lord teaches them, as he taught this woman? She realized that she was now before the only one in the whole universe who could help her at that time, and the only way he could help her was in his pure mercy and sovereign favor. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy of whom I will show mercy. And where that soul is found looking to the Lord for that deliverance and waiting upon him, there is faith. It is the gift of God. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Christ said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see this that he said to this woman, as thou wilt. Because she was under the influence of the Lord God, she was asking according to God's will. John said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now it is God's will that that sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus pleading for deliverance from the devil, they shall know it. That sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus pleading for the deliverance from their sins shall have it. His will is that the sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus pleading for help to walk the path they are in, they shall have it. And that which is the Lord's will to give, he puts in his people to pray for. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. My soul, ask what thou wilt. Thou canst not be too bold. The Lord help me in trying to come to a close now, to just briefly speak of the blessed authority of the Lord in speaking as he did. How could it be as she desired? How could her daughter be delivered from that devil? How could she herself, whose case was wrapped up with the case of her daughter, how could she be delivered? Christ coming forth for the deliverance of his church from sin, death, hell and Satan. Oh, how could it be that a sinner has from God what they do not deserve at all, the love of God, the mercy of God, and the finished work of his Son, the defeat of Satan. It pleased the Lord to bruise his own Son. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. But when he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, I do speak to those here tonight, and there are so many things. It seems to be one thing after another, and they are impossible. You try to deliver yourself. You try to bring yourself out of these deep things. Or if it is someone else, you try perhaps by speaking to them and to bring the word of God before them. I have often thought recently of that son who was vexed with the devil, and the man brought his son to the disciples of the Lord, and they could not cast him out. Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The work of God himself. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. Then perhaps there are those here that would say, I have cried, and still there's no deliverance. Well, you know these narratives in the Gospel, they were particular cases in which the Lord effected a deliverance. In the case here, it would seem in a comparatively short space of time. We do not know how long it may be in the exercise of his people between their first coming, as this woman did, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David, and him coming by his gracious teaching and bringing them to that point, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. It may not be a few hours, it may not be days, weeks, it may extend beyond months, years, but the Lord will uphold that one until his appointed time. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. Lord, help me. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £645, and on Monday, for our Needy Cases Fund, £761, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Philip Hare will, God willing, preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. And he will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I pray, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. Hymn 393.
Thank you. to grant yourselves hearts to, Lord, to enjoy the will. Oh, that it may be a time of coming together before to soften our heart. Lord, to grant those petitions. Oh, that help him. Help my servant, we hope to give him that to bring before. But my servant too, on Tuesday, Lord, to help him. Oh, he'll be with us as well. Go into the week, Lord, thou knowest all that lies before each. Oh, Lord, we pray. Lord, help. Be forgiven our every sin. Forgive anything that thy pure and holy eyes have seen in this, and our worship of thee this day, as we would ask thee, thanking thee for each and every one, for Jesus Christ, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and the communion.